Matthew 21, verses 18 down to verse 22. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And said, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately, the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither away so soon?" So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Let's pray. Father, we are told in your word that your word is living and powerful. Father, it never loses its power, it never loses its strength. But we do, Father. And so we pray that hereby your word that you would give us all that power and strength back again. Father, we ask that your word would come to us this morning, not in human wisdom, but in a demonstration of your Spirit's power. Lord, open up our minds and our hearts, my mouth, that your people might hear and believe. Amen. Years back when I was a young Christian, I remember having a conversation with a young Christian. And this young Christian was telling me that he never had any trouble believing God when it came to prayer. He said, "What's the problem? God has made certain promises in His Word. When I pray, I simply believe those promises." Even though I was a young believer, I had enough sense to see that there was a glibness, that there was an ease, that there was a patness to what he was saying. And I wonder if I met that same believer today, after having gone through the trials he inevitably has, I wonder if he would be so pat. You know, sometimes I hear that kind of tone in believers, well-meaning believers. They say that God always answers prayer. He either says yes, no, or not yet. And without arguing the merit of that truth, sometimes it's just said a little too easy, a little too glibly, a little too patly, if you know what I mean. And I wonder if the people who say this know what it is to plead with God for a dying child, for a really sick child. I wonder if these people have ever really struggled through the dark valleys of uncertainty, wanting your future to be clear, but every day walking through this haze of uncertainty. I wonder if these people know what it is to experience profound, and I mean profound, disappointment when they have prayed and heaven has seemed silent. The reality is, friends, that it's hard to believe in prayer. It's difficult. If we're to be honest this morning, we're going to admit that. It's not easy to believe when we go to God in prayer. Am I off this morning? Would you agree with me? This is not an easy thing. But what are we to do? Because we're told in God's Word that we've got to believe when we come to God in prayer. In fact, it is the most basic component of prayer. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. He who comes to God must what? Believe that He is or exists, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Nothing is more basic or fundamental or integral to prayer than faith. We must believe. In fact, we're told in the Word of God that it was because people didn't believe that God could not do certain things. So what do? We know we're called to believe. Jesus says we must believe without doubting. And yet the reality is that so often in prayer, when we go to God, we struggle with faith. We get only so far, and then suddenly those doubts begin to erode our resolve. You know what I think? Personally, I think we need to meet Jesus this morning. I think we need to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we need to have here what the disciples had back then, which was what? Christ coming to men, Christ coming to people who wrestled with a lack of faith and teaching them how to believe, how to pray with faith, how to pray believing and not doubting. And this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to meet Jesus. We're going to listen to Him because He's calling us here to faith. He's calling us here to pray, believing. And to do that, He helps us in a couple of ways. One thing He does is this. He wants you to look at His amazing power. He wants you to look at His amazing power. When I was a boy in school, we learned about Henry Hudson. How many of you know about Henry Hudson? Hudson Bay, ring a bell. That's about as much as I remember about Henry Hudson. What I didn't realize until just very recently, because I have been studying early American history, don't ask me why, but I have been. And what's very interesting is that this man, his big quest was to find a trade route, a northwest trade route from England to China. Eventually, England got fed up with Henry Hudson and refused to support or fund any more of his explorations. It was the Dutch who eventually funded his way. He got stuck in Hudson Bay, mind you. But, you know, when you think about the English, can you blame them? Can you? Because it's hard to trust somebody who you're not convinced can come through for you. I don't blame the English. I don't blame them at all. I think that the withered fig tree teaches us about a God who can come through for us. I think that that's really the point here. Jesus is walking into Jerusalem. It's the morning. He's been in the city the day before. He's cleaned the temple right out. He's returned now to the city, and he's hungry. He didn't have any breakfast. So he's hungry. We don't know why he didn't eat, but he didn't eat. He's hungry. He comes along the road. He sees this fig tree, which is bearing leaves, and it should therefore have figs on it, but it didn't. And so Jesus curses the fig tree. He says to the fig tree, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Now this seems strange, doesn't it? I mean, do we ever see Jesus reacting like this in other places? I mean, you almost get the sense that because the fig tree didn't have any figs, that he was hungry, that it couldn't feed him, that he got angry at the tree, and being ticked off, he cursed the tree. I don't think that's it. I think the fig tree is symbolic, it's representative of Israel. Israel had all the show of being religious. They appeared to be very religious, and yet it was hollow, it was shallow. It was an empty thing. And so when Christ curses the fig tree, in a way, representatively, he is cursing the people of God. But the disciples don't understand this. They don't get that. And Jesus knows that they don't understand that. He knows that they don't get it. But Jesus uses this as an opportunity to teach them an amazing lesson about believing in prayer. We're told here that when Jesus had withered the fig tree, that the disciples said what? How did the fig tree wither away so soon? Does that not amaze you, that statement? Does that not absolutely floor you? These men had been with Jesus for 3 years. They had seen Jesus do the most incredible things. They had seen Jesus give people back their eyesight, back their hearing, They had seen him cure lepers, diseased people. They had seen him cast out demons from people. They had seen him still storms and walk on the water. And now Jesus curses this tree, it withers, and they're flummoxed. They don't get it. How can this be? How daft. How incredibly daft can you be? I mean, isn't this amazing? Does this not strike you as a little bit odd? Does it? Yes. But is it? I mean, when you think of your own life, is it really that strange? Because it seems to me that day by day we have evidences of God's power all around us. And yet we live our lives as though this is just cause and effect. As though this stuff just happens. We tend to look at the world, now, isn't this right? We look at the world the way the world looks at this world. That's all that there is. There's nothing behind it. There's nothing within it. It's just there. The problem is that when it comes to prayer then, when it comes time for us to exercise faith, suddenly we have to really shift gears and we have to push past the things that we see and exercise muscles that we're just not used or accustomed to using. And that's difficult. And we struggle, don't we? We struggle to believe when it comes to prayer. And I think that maybe, just maybe, that Christ has cursed this fig tree, has withered it almost instantly to teach us something important. To help us to see His power, this amazing power. And I wonder, friends, what would our faith be like as we go to God in prayer? If our eyes were able to see God's power all around us, what would that be like? In Psalm 104, I want to read to you just a litany of things that God does. We're told in this psalm. The atmosphere is mentioned. Clouds, the ocean, beasts of the field, birds of the air, grass, trees, moon, sun. All the things that we're accustomed to looking at that we know all about. But what's amazing is that there's a pronoun that interlaces its way right throughout that psalm. You know what that pronoun is? What is that personal pronoun? What is a personal pronoun? It's He. It is He. He did this. He makes this. He. Did you get that? You see, the psalmist doesn't look at the world like we do so often. He sees God's hand in everything that He does. This past week, I decided that I was going to do that. And so I walked to a pond. And I watched barn swallows cutting back and forth, dipping down into the water. And I saw an invisible hand. I took a brand new leaf in my hand and I saw creative genius. I went to an elm tree and I ran my fingers over its gnarly skin. And for a moment, even if it was for one moment, I believed that I could pray anything in the world. Anything. What would our faith be like, friends, if we would just look at this world around us through those eyes and see God's power all around us? Or what about life and the events of life? What would our faith be like if we interpreted the things that happen, every single thing that happens to us, in the light of God's power and might and strength? On Monday, I was at a funeral. 14-year-old girl passed away. Lord took her home. What I didn't know until I arrived there was that, coincidentally, there was a grandmother's 90th birthday, and that family from all over Canada had come to celebrate Grandma's birthday. And it was the exact same time that God took this little girl home. And they were there, able to hear the gospel being preached to them. You see God. I decided to go to a coffee shop this week I don't normally go to. And I got there and I met a friend that Phil and I meet with every Tuesday morning at a completely different coffee shop. And as we sat there eating bagels and coffee together, I saw God. I saw His power. I saw His might. What would that do to our faith, friends, if we just began to really interpret the things that happen in our lives in light of God's power and strength? You know, so often we complain that we don't see more withered fig trees in our lives, don't we? We complain that we don't see more of God's power and strength. The reality is, my friends, we are standing in a field of withered fig trees. And they stretch forward and backwards and to the sides for as far as the eye can see. Isn't that true? And you and I, my friends, have only to ask God to open our eyes and see what so often we don't see. What would that do to our faith, friends? If constantly we were interpreting this world and the events of this world in light of God's power, I mean, what would that do to our faith as we came to God? We would just know intuitively, instinctively, that this God is a God of amazing power. I have a sense, I'm guessing, that it would do amazing things for our faith. Don't you think? Jesus calls you this morning, friends, to look at the withered fig trees of this life. All around you. You don't have to go anywhere. They're all around you. Every second, every inch, everywhere you look around you, everything that happens, it is an evidence of God's might and power. And He wants you to see this stuff so that your faith is energized and strengthened. So you go to God saying, I don't doubt, but I believe that you can do what is absolutely impossible. He wants you to look at His amazing power. Christ could have left it like that. He could have simply withered this fig tree and the men would have said, wow. But He doesn't leave it there. He does something else. He goes on and He gives them an amazing promise. Not just amazing power is shown here, but Christ graciously goes on and He speaks a word, an amazing word of promise to His disciples. Let's pick it up. We're told in verse 21, so Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also, if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Man, you think this fig tree is something? I'm telling you. If you pray believing, not only will you be able to wither fig trees, but you will be able to cast mountains like this one right here, Mount of Olives, into the Dead Sea. Imagine that. You know what that is? That's an utter impossibility. Christ didn't really mean that these men would be able to re-landscape the geography of the Holy Land. That's not what He was driving at. Being able to cast a mountain into the sea was a picture of impossibility, right? And Christ is saying, men, if you have faith and don't doubt, you are going to be able to do what is absolutely impossible. And the reason being is that faith moves God to undertake for us, as Ian Bounds says, and with God, nothing is impossible. Amen. Nothing. Actually, the promise gets more incredible, doesn't it? Because as Christ goes on to say in verse 22, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now, I'm going to read that again in case you didn't hear that. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Whatever. Whatever. You know, I think we read promises like this, and what do we begin to do? Qualify it, don't we? Yes, it's true that Christ says this. However, He also says elsewhere, if it be thy will. Why do we do that? It's biblical, yes, it's biblical. But why? Why so quick? Why so quick to qualify our Lord here? Why so quick to narrow and close what He's left so open to us? Why? Well, it's safe, isn't it? Because if we're always asserting, if it be thy will, it gives us a little escape hatch. Because if it doesn't happen, we're not going to say, well, it was my lack of faith. It's just that it wasn't his will. It's safe, isn't it? It doesn't really call us to exercise faith. Maybe we have a hard time believing that God is this generous with us. Maybe like the leper, I know you can do this if you're willing, if you want to. I know you can give me whatever things I ask for in prayer. I'm just not sure you want to. But what do? Christ is promising you something here. First word of that verse. What is it? In the red. Assuredly. You know what that word means? It means I swear it to you. I'm putting myself on the hook for this one. Amen, he says. I will do this. If you have faith and do not doubt, whatever things you ask for in prayer, believing, will be given to you. Whatever things. Whatever things. Now you might say to me, well, that sounds like a name and claim it gospel, Karen. That's not, listen, friends. I'm not advocating a name and claim it gospel. But what I'm asking you to do here this morning, friends, is perhaps begin to exercise the kind of faith that maybe we know so hardly about, the kind of rigorous faith which begins to see these whatever things brought into our lives. He's promising it to you, friends. He does not lie. And hasn't he shown you just how committed he is to this assuredly? Hasn't he? I mean, for Christ to say, I swear it to you. I swear that you will pray and ask these things of God, that God will hear you. What that meant? It meant that he had to go to the cross. It meant that he had to bring us to God. It meant that he had to die in your place, in my place, so that we could pray these things. That's how we can say assuredly. Christ did not say this glibly, friends. This assuredly cost him his life. Doesn't that show you how committed he is to giving you the things he promises right here in this verse? What do you want? What do you want this morning? What do you want? I mean, with a promise like this, friends, how come we're not scribbling down our requests? What do you want? You want power to overcome sin. You want victory, freedom over that thing that ensnares and entangles you. You want that? Christ says, whatever. Whatever. You want to know what's going on down the road? You want God to give you clarity? You want God to guide you? Whatever. You ask God for that. Because that's, I think, in whatever. You want a building? Whatever. Whatever things. You want something to live with for the rest of your life? You want kids? Whatever. Whatever. You want those children to grow up and love the Lord? You want that they will never depart from God and live lives of prodigality? Whatever things you ask, believing. But how about just enough faith to believe our Lord right here? How about enough faith? Whatever things. Whatever things. Friends, isn't it about time that we really began to exercise the kind of rigorous faith that Christ is calling us to here? Isn't it about time that we start opening our eyes and see the withered fig trees, which are all about us, and to take Christ at His word, assuredly, I swear it to you, I promise. I think it is. What do you want? What do you want this morning? What do you want? Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing He will give those to you. I think it's time to start studying some fig trees, friends. I think it's time to start listening to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's time to move up from what is safe and comfortable into what is impossible with us, and ask God to show up and do something that will put wonder in our hearts and praise in our mouths to our God. What do you want? And whatever things you ask in prayer believing, you will receive. Father, we pray that this word would lock itself into our hearts. God, open our eyes to see those fig trees. Open our ears to hear this promise. Let it remain with us, Father. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will bear much fruit. Father, let your word abide in our hearts this morning. Let it never leave. And Father, when we struggle to believe, give us faith. Help us to believe. Help us, Lord, to believe. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for his life. Thank you for his commitment to us. Thank you for such promises. And Lord, now we pray that those things that we have thought in our minds, those things that we desire, Lord, help us. Help us to believe. And Lord, help us to go out and live our lives as though we do believe, ready to receive your promise. Help us to pray and look up. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.